I am bringing, we are bringing, us together are bringing you right now, God, Games, and Geekery, assemble. That's where we take a host or two from, actually two or more, from our other podcasts, like I Am Bomber, who is from Music and the Message, and then Ryan, City of the Hill Gaming, who is from Bible and Books, and then maybe, we'll get David from Faith and Film. Oh, and Micah from Christ in Comics. Maybe we could do all of them. What if one day we did everybody? Ah, that would be insane.
I think that there's another one as well. There's God and Games.
There's God and Games, which
there
we
is that guy.
We haven't gotten with Lucas just yet because we're just ending Quake season, and there is no way we were going to get Lucas during Quake season. It was not going to happen. Oh, my goodness. But we brought everybody together. We assembled everyone together. I need an eye patch. So that we can talk all together as geeky brothers in Christ. And I dig it.
I'm kind of seeing this as like the IKEA assemble. It's just all the parts being thrown here on the living room floor, and we're hoping it turns into a nightstand or a refrigerator, one of the two.
We're going to do it the manly way where we don't use the instructions.
Yes, not at all.
That's not important.
He said the IKEA way.
Those weren't lovingly crafted by someone. You don't need those.
Okay. Oh my gosh, I was not ready.
The IKEA of podcasts. Okay, yeah, look, I mean, hey, that's fine. People love IKEA.
I was not ready for it. I was not ready for it, Alex.
I respect it.
And now that's, honestly, now that's our tagline. God, Games, and Geekery assemble. The IKEA of podcasts.
Doing our best.
I need a t-shirt.
One bookshelf at a time.
I need a t-shirt. Okay, Alex.
I think he's broken.
Alex,
you got him. You got him really good.
What are we talking about today, man? Come on.
Love. And I'm on the spot now because I almost remembered verbatim 2 seconds ago. And so we're talking about like love stories and geekdom. And then transferring to God's love.
Mm. Okay.
Got him.
Got it. Nice.
Making it happen.
Nice. Oh, man. All right. So I guess geeky love stories, love in geeky ways. There are some places that I just never thought you'd find like love stories or showing that love. Like, for instance, Transformers, the animated movie.
Oh, the animated movie. Okay.
Like,
I don't know that one. Okay.
Right? I reference it a lot. It's one of my favorites. Like, for that one, and we're going to talk about different kinds of love in a bit. We talked about it on Music and the Message last episode, which should be coming out tomorrow. Last day of February. You know, that's what we do. IKEA podcasts.
And it's only by a technicality still.
Yes.
Still February.
Yeah, we take those.
But you don't see a lot of romantic love in Transformers, the animated movie. Nor on the cartoon would you ever, but you do see a lot of like the love for a child and their parent, or the parent and the child, that relationship in that one. And that caught me, you know, when I was trying to think of what movies would you never see love in, and I came to that and was like, that's all action and robots and explosions. Yeah, there was actually love in that one.
So, you never know when. It's the same for me with like League of Legends. Like, you wouldn't assume League of Legends has love stories, and it has several.
Does it really?
Between sets of actual playable characters.
Oh, wow.
That are actually in the lore in relationships. You have Senna and Lucian. You have Zaya and Rakan. I guess Ezreal and Lux, if you want to do that. That's really more of a ship than anything else, but you get the idea. There are lore specific, because I actually read through Senna's, who's one of my favorite characters. I read through her lore, and like, her and Lucian's stories are like intrinsically tied on like multiple levels, like specifically romantically.
Mm. Okay.
And for family reasons separately, but
yeah.
There it definitely shows up in places you don't expect.
Okay. And again, I love Marvel. Marvel's my jam. And again, that family love shows up in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Ooh,
mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. On several levels. Like, I think that you start to see it. They're friends first, but then there is that dad child moment with Rocket and Groot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the first one, it's, is my buddy, Groot and Rocket are, you know, friends.
They're a tag team.
Yeah, they're a tag team. But then as new Groot, because for those, I'm going to get nerdy for a second. When Groot is reborn, it is not the same Groot.
That's, it's not?
No, it is not the same Groot.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Old Groot dies, and that's how...
And Sprout Groot is a different Groot.
Yeah, Sprout Groot is technically a different Groot.
I didn't know that. That's very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So you get Dad Rocket, because it's actually canon now that when Groot... dusts or blinks or snaps away.
Right.
His I am Groot is saying dad.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, now I'm going to cry. Yeah. All right, Dak Nevitt.
Yeah. You thought.
That's not cool, Marvel.
Yeah. You thought,
bro.
I don't feel good, Mr. Stark was heart tearing. Once I found out that when he said I am Groot at the end was actually him saying dad. I was like, Peter, no. I'm sorry, you can go. It's fine.
Yeah.
Comparatively.
We don't need Tom Holland back. I need Groot. Protect the tree at all costs.
So, yeah. Again, that familiar, family love. Okay. I think is super duper cool.
Definitely.
I speaking of babies that aren't really babies, I love... like Mando and then Grogu.
Ooh.
Yeah.
As far as being that family. Yeah, that parent-child kind of dynamic. And not Baby Yoda, but Baby Yoda.
Yeah, Baby Yoda.
Middle-aged Yoda.
There are and there's a theory, you guys, that that Yoda's... Yoda's people, there's only really two of them, and they just reincarnate.
Huh.
Because you got Yoda and Yaddle,
right?
And then nowhere in any other part of Star Wars that I know of, in theatrically anyway, do you see another species of like Yoda?
I think that's true as long as you maintain it only being theatrically, yes.
Yeah.
Even if you go deeper than that, you still don't actually get that many extra.
I don't know.
I'm trying to decide if Yaddle dies early enough to be Grogu.
Ooh.
Because Yaddle dies in what was that series they did? It was one of the Disney Plus series. Not Cold Visions, Wars, the other one.
Rebels.
Tales of the Jedi.
Oh,
Spoilers for Tales of the Jedi. Yaddle dies, but I don't know if that's early enough in canon for then Grogu to be. No, it's not, because Grogu's around during the Clone Wars.
Grogu's around after Jedi.
Right, but spoilers for later seasons of The Mandalorian. Grogu's technically around during the clone trooper raid on the Jedi Temple.
Okay, right. Because it's 50 years.
The third movie,
he's
right.
He's 50 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Grogu is technically around in canon at the same time as both Yoda and Yaddle, give or take.
Yeah. Okay.
That's interesting, though, that's how that species works. I would find that a very interesting option.
Yeah, that's the theory. So I don't know if... but you only see or hear of three of them ever.
That's interesting. I am intrigued.
Yeah. So, I mean, we got there from love.
Yeah. If you want me to keep going, I can go into a different Star Wars direction.
I mean, we're talking about just what we have seen in our geeky love stories.
And Alex, I'm going to need you to help me with this, because you have the eight kinds of love. I'm going to need you to tell me which one the thing I'm describing is. It's okay. Probably more than one of them, because it's deeply dysfunctional. So regardless of whether or not you stick only to the movies or you include the books, you have Han and Leia in Star Wars, who have some version, again, depending on which version, of a very long-term romantic relationship, typically includes a marriage in some form or fashion, again, depending on whether you're talking legends or canon.
Right.
But it's a relationship that I think in most versions, or certainly in canon, that doesn't always work out, and someone leaves, and I'll tie back into that spiritually in a second, but the relationship just kind of breaks down. It doesn't work for whatever reason, and you lose what I think should be, I guess, an agape love, but ultimately doesn't end up being that. Though I suppose it still sort of does, because no matter how far apart you take the two of them, there is still a deep sense of connection and care for the other, even if it's not the same kind of romantic love necessarily that it, you know, I love you, I know. It definitely moves past that.
Right.
But you get to that. And I think it's interesting that I'm going to completely change my spiritual concept I had, because I realized I broke my own concept, but I'm going to try and we'll see what happens. So we start our relationships with God, and at some points, myself included, people walk away.
Yeah.
We walk away from God in some form or fashion. But on the one side, God never goes anywhere.
Mm.
He's always there. He always loves us. He always wants the best for us. And deep down inside of a lot of people, myself included, when you walk away, that love for God and that relationship doesn't actually leave you. You may choose to ignore it or not actively participate in it or want to be a part of it, but it doesn't leave you. And if you're willing, he will pull you back in. Because I walked away for quite a few years, not because anything was wrong, not because I had been hurt by anything. I just wasn't interested. And I'm immensely lazy. And that genuinely came down to affecting my relationship with God, because I wasn't going to church. I wasn't investing the time in making, if we're going to make it about this, the relationship that it should have been. And I think as Han and Leia spread out throughout the galaxy and they're trying to, you know, keep back the Empire and improve the Republic and strengthen the galaxy, the more they go out and do, the further apart they get. And the more we as people go out to do and try and expand our lives, often we can end up in that position where the further away we get from God. And it's just something you have to be careful of. But always knowing, no matter why you walk away, and because this includes the folks who have very real and very deep church trauma.
Yeah.
God didn't go anywhere. All of your, I want to say it, I don't know, it's, I'm going to say it. All of your church trauma has nothing to do with God.
It has to do
with with the people who hurt you.
Yeah.
Who weren't doing the God thing they were supposed to be doing.
Mm.
It doesn't mean your trauma doesn't exist. It absolutely does.
Right.
I know plenty of people with church hurt, and it is a very real, very damaging thing. But the reality, I believe, is that it's not God. Because that's not how God's love works.
Mm-mm.
We may not always agree with God. We may not always look at things the same way he does. But the hurt and the heartbreak is not God. That is people not loving you the way they're supposed to.
Mm.
It's not God not loving you.
I agree with
that. God always loves you. I want more people.
You need to, please. Our adults too, but our students need to remember that for sure.
And that's something I want them to remember.
Yeah.
Is it's not, that's not on God. That is on people. You have to, and it's hard to separate those things. Because those people represent God.
Yeah.
They're
supposed to. I've always thought about this way. A lot of folks consider taking God's name in vain being like cussing.
Mm,
but if you are using God's name and not showing his love, but you're saying that God loves this way only. Is that also taking God's name in vain?
I mean, if you're putting God in a position or in a space that he doesn't put himself in, I suppose so. On at least in some sense of the concept.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's like they're taking God's name in vain. We're not supposed to do that.
they're putting words in God's mouth,
right?
That aren't his, and so I see where you're coming from. Yeah. I don't exactly know how to process it, but I see where you're coming from.
Again, still just a little baby idea. Need to fully flesh that out myself. But that's what I'm saying. Relationships and games that are like what? Okay. I guess my question would be, what is the best relationship portraying love in video games? What is it?
I'm trying to dig up something from Overwatch, and there aren't any good romantic relationships in Overwatch.
They're very surface on those.
At least between two main characters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two playable characters. There are relationships. They're good.
Oh yeah.
Seemingly relationships that exist in the lore of Overwatch.
Right.
Like tracers. But that's
and there's some flirting stuff two characters. Going on too.
Oh yeah. There's definitely some stuff there. But I'm trying to think of like, to me, all the Overwatch relationships, at least between main characters, are more like you said, familial relationships.
Yeah.
Like Torb and Brigitte, or Winston and Tracer. Reinhardt, that kind of thing. Yeah. Reinhardt and Brig. Like the father, like the uncle niece kind of thing.
Yeah. Genji and Kiriko.
Really?
Yeah. Like they grew up together.
Very cool.
They're like little brother. They're not actually related, but they did grow up together. They're like,
I didn't know that. That's cool. In video games, I don't have good, like, I don't think Mario and Peach are like an actually good example of this.
Yeah. I that one came to my mind as well. And it's like, but is it?
Bowser and Peach? He's closer, unfortunately. Yeah. No.
I have one word for you that. Uncharted.
I don't know anything about Uncharted.
Oh, okay. All right. Let me go to another one. I don't want to go too much. How about romantic relationship? Ooh, I got
too many multiplayer games.
I got it.
They don't do this with the characters.
Mickey and Minnie.
Hey, there he is. Okay, all right.
Disney Infinity, baby! That's for you, Tom.
Okay, all right, I'll buy it.
Okay, let me see if I can think of any else. Like,
and like I said, mean, like the ones from League of Legends that I mentioned earlier count, but...
Yeah.
So, one of my favorite, like, romantic relationships, it's from TV, and one of the geekiest shows out there. So from Futurama, you have Fry and Leela.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And
taking they, it back. Okay.
I wanted to talk about another love in Futurama, but Fry and Leela's relationship is awesome, especially getting to the end for what up until a year or two ago was like the series finale of...
Yeah.
Fry
and Leela are trapped outside of time, and that's totally okay with them. And they live their whole lives doing whatever they want, and all that matters is each other.
Right.
And Fry and Leela is a hashtag relationship goals kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. If we're going TV, Sheldon and Amy.
Their relationship is... Okay, so I've never watched Big Bang Theory.
Okay.
I have watched a lot of Big Bang Theory clips on YouTube.
Okay.
And their relationship seems, for the predominant portion of most seasons, to be kind of awful.
Sheldon...
Just because of the nature of how Sheldon interacts with the world around him.
Yes.
In general. Like, but, that's not... But it's not specifically directed at her, but it's, you know...
Right. No, and that's the thing. Through all of that,
oh, dang, Navi, you're right.
She stays with him. And there was a part where she walked away and she was like, I can't do this. And he came to her and was more vulnerable than he has ever been and explained a lot of the things that are going on in his head. And she knew at that moment he was the one for her and just loved her. And because of his, however his brain works, he shows love differently.
Yeah.
And once she understood how he shows love, she was all in. Doesn't mean she didn't get frustrated.
Oh, yeah.
But she was all in. And I think that's, you know... As a neurodivergent myself, and I don't think they ever say it in the show, but it's heavily implied. They don't have to.
They don't.
No, he's like, yeah.
Yeah, it's like they don't have to. But I appreciate that so much because I have my own Amy. I am a handful.
Yes, Queen, do you?
I am... I'm a bit much, but my Amy, who we call anti-gamer,
it's a great name.
I can't, it's bad gamer and anti-gamer.
Clean.
I don't know what I would ever do without her. I have never spent a significant time away from her. From when I was 18 to today.
Wow.
I don't...
Forgive the public math, but that's like...
That's a lot of years.
112 years.
Right? Yeah. It's like a strong amount of time.
It is. It is. It is. She also follows my skin regimen. 112 years. But yeah. And I think that... That is one of, probably not the best relationship on television, but I think it's one of absolutely the best ones.
That is a very strong one.
Yeah, that the work to the relationship, I think, is something that's overlooked a lot in media portrayals of love. And granted, there are challenges, but... I feel like it glosses over the work that goes in and continual work that goes into relationships. But also, like, at the end of the day, the knowing this is worth it, this is love, so I'm going, there's no other choice, I'm going to put the work in.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Man. One I wanted to look at is one that looks at the weighting of relationships, and not in their purpose, but for how I look at it, in accepting, like, that our timing doesn't match with God's and that things aren't always going to go the way we want them to is Cap and Peggy.
Okay.
Cap. Because that is...
Oh, Cap and Peggy.
Captain America and Peggy, okay. Peggy Carter. I think she technically has a hero name, but if I'm blanking on what that is.
Agent Carter.
I think she's also technically Captain... Is she Captain America at one point? Captain Britain?
She's just Captain Carter.
Captain Carter. Yeah. Okay. I was gonna say, I know there's like an actual hero name for Peggy Carter. Agent Carter and then Captain Carter. Yeah. But that is one that literally takes generations to happen, technically.
Yeah.
Timey wimey, yada yada. Don't think about that part too much. But it both takes forever and doesn't.
And it's
But I think that's real for us, because things we think take forever, as a dude in his mid-30s who's single, they don't. Because our time isn't God's, and you have to let God work. You have to let God cook, as the kids say.
Yeah.
I watch a lot of, like, Valorant and League of Legends. And the popular thing is to say let him cook. And I don't. I really hate letting God cook, because God's time is different from mine, and that is a real point of struggle for me. And so learning to wait until you can do it correctly, which is what Steve technically does for about 90 years or whatever the time frame is. And that was such a weird ending to that movie, spoilers. But I think in some senses, I think that was done to make the fans happy. And so be it. That's fine. In the long run, he waits, and then it happens, and he still gets to do the whole thing.
Yeah.
When you wait on God, you're going to get to do, in theory, hopefully, exactly what he intends for you to do. And you're going to have the time to do it. But you've got to do it his way, or it's not going to work the way you want, from experience. That is, and waiting, especially with relationships, until you're doing it the way God wants you to. I'm going to say something really harsh. The divorce rate in the church is statistically, on average, if not higher, on par with non-Christian people. Our numbers should not be like that. Mm-hmm. We should be the example of what doing things well looks like. And traditionally, just in relationships, we aren't. Mm-hmm. We are rarely the example we are supposed to be, in my opinion. Yeah. Again, that's my unprofessional, unpolished opinion. But I think if we spent more time being discerning and actually going to God with things, they would turn out more in the fashion we hope. I have a coworker who blows my mind. He is 21, I think it is. Met a girl, really interested. They really connected well. But he took the time to have discussions with her about the things that mattered to both of them. And it turned out they weren't as compatible as he wanted them to be. And so they didn't enter into a relationship. And as much as he liked her, it would not have been a good idea.
Yeah.
And for a 21-year-old to have the discernment to say, I need to figure out where we're actually at on things, and not wait to do that until you're 6 months into a relationship, 3 days from getting down on one knee and asking a question, is remarkable.
But that is
how we need to be processing things.
We have some students, one in particular that I'm thinking of in our community, Lato Potato, that, and I know he's not listening because he's at school.
Better not be listening.
That I could see that being him.
Right.
Like 1,000% I could see that being him. Also, I do want to point out to our listeners that Ryan is now officially the old man. of the podcast because he said, as the kids say, let them cook.
Yeah. I will say plenty of things as the kids say.
You're officially the old man.
I refuse to change my phrasing as I go through life. I just adopt new things that sound interesting. And then I will keep using them, whether I should still say yeet or not. Don't care. Gonna say it. Because it works for me. I adopt things. I don't let them pass me by when they age.
Oh, my God.
And are no longer cool. I don't care what your TikTokers say. You That's kids fresh. And your nonsense. Word.
He's yelling at clouds.
I had a coworker at my last job. We tried to bring dope back. It didn't really work out for us, but we tried.
Oh, we tried. Use it's it underrated all the time word. Here. You can right, use man. Dope as much as you want.
Hold up.
Kids don't do drugs.
Phrasing?
You kids, can, kids don't do oh, drugs. Oh, yeah. Hold on. Let me rephrase that. You can use say the dope word as much as dope. You want. All as much as you want. Thank you for the catch. Drugs. Thanks for the catch. Appreciate that. We're going to get some angry comments from parents. Mm-hmm.
Don't want the parents. I've been here. We didn't mean that.
Parents, you know what? Look, if you're a parent, you know what I meant. Mm-hmm. Your kids might not have known, but you knew exactly what I meant when I said that's dope.
I think generationally we're far enough back that they don't actually use that word from a narcotics perspective either.
Oh.
So maybe we can take it back. maybe we are safe to bring it back around.
Speaking of bringing back around.
Okay.
There's a relationship that very similar to Cap and Peggy. And you said timey-wimey, so it's perfect. And I thought you were going to take this.
I've not actually watched any of it. I can make the reference. I know. I am staring sideways at those Magic the Gathering cards, though, because they put out some good stuff when they put out the Doctor Who set. They did some good work
Alex,
there.
Alex, can we have him on the next one, or do we have to make sure Mike is here?
Do we have a Wanda one?
No, I said, do we have to have him on the next one? He doesn't know. Maybe we get.
I don't know the thing. I don't know about the Who. That's a band, right? The Who? Is that a band? Okay.
Band.
Oh, he just got double stripes for old man of the podcast.
Not my era of music, but I can make the joke.
So you have the Doctor and then River Song. And it's such a fascinating story watching it play out because they, timey-wimey. Basically, their relationships, as they experience them, are lived out in reverse. So the first time the Doctor encounters River is the last time in her timeline that she experiences him. And it
that makes my head hurt. I like that.
Yeah.
That's good.
Oh yeah, dude.
Yeah, that's sad,
that
actually.
Relationship
it's good writing.
Alone is worth watching the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's extremely fascinating, and the relationship even persists through different doctors, so different character, different actors playing him. But yeah, it really is just mind blowing and really cool to think of like, as say you're meeting somebody for the first time, and like the way they're treating you is as if you've had this long relationship and you've been in love forever. And then also as they realize you don't know who I am. So therefore I'm never going to see you again. This is the harsh end of my lifelong relationship.
Oh, that's rough, dude.
On the lighter side, Amy Pond and Rory, kind of lighter, but not really.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I get the impression very little about that program is what I would refer to as lighter.
They are. No, Amy Pond and I Rory?
Yeah, Rory. Oh, I love that. Yeah. That's my favorite relationship in the Who.
Yes. No, they do have like that beautiful and much more traditional love story that I correct me if I'm wrong, but Rory was only or the only like male companion for the Doctor throughout. Well, right? At least on
more recently. No, there was one way back, if I remember correctly, and then there have been some more recently. But for the most part, it's mostly female companions.
Yeah. And I guess even setting that aside, it's you have this couple that's the companion right. to the Doctor.
It's a companion group. It's a whole team.
and they're they are one entity. They're meant to be, and they're together. Yeah. And I mean, there is a bit of an overlap in the two relationships with Doctor Who that we talked about.
We won't talk
about spoilers.
That. No spoilers for Ryan, because Ryan's going to watch all of them this weekend.
I'm reading some lore right now, and I'm fascinated. Because at some point, Hitler becomes involved, and I'm very confused what happened. Okay. All right, I guess there's some... Ooh, sweet heavens. All right. I mean, there are like 15 seasons of this show. I suppose there probably is some complexity
to it. Start with the most recent first Doctor. The seasons compared to, like, everything after. It's not as good. It's not as good, but it's a great start for you to appreciate everything that ends up coming about. You. Like for you to appreciate, they went from that to that in a season. Let's go. Worth it. Oh man. All right. Ed, do we have any ending thoughts? Final thoughts on the topic of love and geeky.
I think the big one for me is two things. Be willing to take your time. Or I think three. Be willing to take your time. Be willing to build relationships even if they don't work the way you want them to. Or towards the end goal you have in mind, I guess, is the important thing. And be willing to make sure God is involved. In your building, even if it's not your romantic relationships, God still needs to be involved in those decisions of who you're spending your time with. Some of the best things I have learned about tabletop gaming and about how hard it is for people who don't believe the same things we do was from a group of people I never should have probably been friends with. So there was growth from that. God did good things through that, through those relationships. But those were people I was probably not supposed to be spending time with.
Yeah.
Certainly not in the fashion I was on some level, and I won't be specific about that. But that was something I have learned from, but ultimately that is a decision that God should have been more involved in and that did not turn out the way it should have. And that's down to me letting him take the reins. And there are plenty of things you can decide in life on your own. But there are plenty of things, most things in life, if not all of them, should be decisions you're making with God. Yeah. Letting him be the one that says yes or no to things. To his purpose. And I say all this is the greatest pot calling the kettle black moment you'll ever see. Because it's not the thing I do, it's the thing I tell you to do. So take it from the experience of someone who's done it the wrong way for a long time. It doesn't get you anywhere in any version of your relationships. When you don't have God involved in those things, they don't work out the way you intend them to. It doesn't matter who the most attractive person is, who the most loving person is. It matters the person that you need to be with in God's eyes. And discernment is awful. It is like the hardest thing to do well. But that's why it takes time. Yeah. And that's why prayer is so important and why taking things to God and your mentors and the people in your lives, but mostly to God, is so important because that's how you end up as best you can doing the things he wants you to do and living life the way he wants you to. And your relationships affect you more than you know, mm-hmm. in good and bad ways.
Yes.
But when you're doing them with discernment and putting the people in your life that God wants you to, then it should be an overwhelmingly positive effect on you. It won't be perfect, like you talked about with like Amy and Sheldon or Fry and
Leela.
Thank you. Their relationship, from what I remember, Futurama, is awful at some points. They both do some, Fry mostly, does some real dumb things that don't work out. But that's, they get there in the end. And you're not going to be perfect. You are going to make mistakes. But ultimately, the more time you spend trying to let God be the one who is making the direction, I'm going to make an analogy, and I'm going to reuse this analogy later for my own purposes. I'm just going to say life is like a restaurant. Like, our relationship with God is like a restaurant. You are not the cook. You are the waiter. You are letting God do his work, and then you're bringing it out to people. That is, you are not the one actually, you should not be, and let me rephrase that. You should not be the one doing the cooking. The more time you spend doing the cooking, the more time the customer is just going to get whatever you think makes sense, which is not what God thinks makes sense. God knows what needs to come out of the kitchen. You're just the one who's supposed to take it out there. And that sucks, because we want to lead. Your boy here wants to be the face. I get it. But that's not how we're supposed to be doing it. And that's difficult at best.
I like that. I dig that.
Learning to take a back seat is one of the hardest things you can do. And you're not always supposed to. But sometimes you probably are. And learning to do it and do it with grace, or not even with grace, that makes it sound, to me, saying doing it with grace makes it sound almost haughty. Learning to let God lead is one of the hardest things to do, but it's one of the most important ones. Especially as it applies to this kind of thing.
Alex, want to add anything?
Yeah. Eight Greek words for love. I don't want not to go over all of them. But one we didn't really mention, I think, at all today or come up with any examples is self-love. And I would... I think this is one of the most important, at least to start with, like truly loving yourself and respecting yourself opens you up to the other kinds of love, to include like receiving and spreading on God's love.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, it's like in Jedi Fallen Order or some of the Castlevania type games where you go back to a spot to just re-up your heels, or yes, it's going to reset all the bad guys out there, but now you are at 100% ready to go. So take care of yourself so you can take care of everybody else.
Kind of, yeah. It could be on like in a kind of any RPG or, you know, stat building. If for some reason you had a choice of spending credits on like armor and stuff, or you can get a bigger satchel that lets you carry more things.
I get where you're going.
So there's a lot of games that I've played where like an early stat you can pick is earning experience quicker.
Yeah.
And it's really tempting early game to like, all right, just give me more HP, give me more attack right away. But I almost always go for that, like the XP boost, because then I can, it's easier to get at end game, it's easier to get those other stats or attributes.
More of a long-term thing.
Right. Yeah, it's that early investment that helps you the longer you go, and the longer you put it off, the harder it is to get that, and as well as its benefits. Wow. But yeah, in any case, like, loving yourself, respecting yourself, like, I'm an Army medic, and I absolutely have the idea of self-sacrifice rooted really deep, and also, even as a dad, like, I'm willing to take off my coat to give it to my kid, who refused to put one on for this going in a walk in 30-degree weather.
But now they're cold.
Now they're cold, and like, I'm willing to suffer to help others.
Yeah.
But there's also a limit to that, and you know, not to say be selfish, but don't ignore yourself either. Like, love yourself, know the sacrifices you're willing to make, and the more you love yourself, the more you can pass that love on. Mm. At the story with the 21-year-old coworker or former coworker,
yeah,
like they had to have loved and respected themselves enough to know that they want to wait. It's the best thing. It's uncomfortable. Definitely lots of signals saying you shouldn't do that, but they love themselves enough to go and stick with it for the long term.
Nice.
Absolutely.
Wow. All right, you guys. I'm going to hold off on mine because I'm going to close this off because mine's going to show up at the end in a totally different segment. So, you guys, thank you so much. I am Balmer. Thank you so much. City on the Hill Gaming. You guys, we are going to be doing a God Games and Geekery Assemble, the IKEA of podcasts.
It'll come together eventually.
You
gotta find all the pieces in that little wrench.
That's the tagline. It'll come together eventually.
That'll be fine. We'll figure it out.
Hey, if you liked this, make sure you do any kind of, if your podcast player does a rating and a review, do that. If you're watching this on YouTube, do a rating and review. If you don't have any of those and you're still somehow getting this, you can email me at badgamer@lifepromotions.org. Badgamer@lifepromotions.org. Let me know. Let me know what you thought about this whole thing that we're doing now. Remember, Jesus loves you. So do I. So do these guys. Peace.